I don't just want an ordinary job.
Right now, as you should say, take a good swing at it.
Like the hot shoe shuffle.
So much more to it than you know.
This is Hack. My name's Kate O'Toole, and I'm going to get personal with you today. If you had to rate your libido out of 10, what would you give it? You need sex all the time, or maybe just a couple of times a week, or maybe not much at all? You got a number? Now rate your partner's libido. Now, if you're in your 20s, aren't you meant to be having the most and the best and the most exciting sex of your life? So what kind of pressure does that put on your relationship? Sex therapist Linda Carla will be in the studio in just a moment, but you can call right now. How would you rate your libido out of 10?
Hack 1300 0555 36. Text 1975 7555.
I'm Courtney and I'm 20 years old.
So, Courtney, how would you rate your libido, say, from 1 to 10, 10 being highest, 1 being lowest?
Probably about an 8.
I'm Ollie Boston and I'm 18. I've been described as a bit of a slut before, so I'd say I'm about an 8 or a 9.
I'd like to have sex maximum amount of times I can a day, and I'm 19.
I'm Hayley and I'm 24.
I'd say about an 8.
Chris and I just turned 24. I'd probably rate myself 6.5, 7.
I'm Nicole, I'm 19.
Mine is about an 8.
Now that I'm 20, I'm a little bit older. When I was younger, it was a little bit lower, but now I know what I like and that kind of thing.
I'm 16. I haven't even had sex.
Wow. So, Charlie, how do you reckon you'd rate your libido? Like, how often do you want to have sex?
Up to 19 times a day would be good.
19 times a day, is that possible?
I have done that.
So you've ejaculated 19 times in one day?
I haven't ejaculated on all of them, but say 15 out of the 19 I've ejaculated. The other 4 I couldn't blow, but, you know, I tried.
Come with me, come with me, come with me, come with me there.
Daniel, and I'm 22.
How would you rate your libido, Daniel? Say from 1 to 10. 10 being, like, totally horny and on it all the time, and 1 being, you know, you don't really think about it.
Let's go with 7.
Hi, I'm Sahil. I'm also 24 years old and I would rate myself 8 and I wish I could have it all the time.
So you're pretty horny.
At the moment, yes.
Sally, I'm 16. I don't have sex much, but I've only ever had sex with one guy, so I haven't got such a high libido rate.
I know. You'd rate your libido a 10 out of 10, sure. But wait till you hear this next guy and tell me that you wouldn't revise that figure down just a little.
Out of 10, definitely 10 to 11.
It's pretty full on.
Yeah, it sounds funny, but it's not really.
So how has it caused problems for you with your relationships in the past?
It's been the cause of an end of a few of the relationships. 4 recently. There have been more previous, but there was a relationship in the middle that ended for other reasons.
So how many in total?
7.
7 partners and you're only 24.
Yeah.
That's really full on.
I guess so.
Can you explain one of those situations for me? What actually happens? How does it come about that you break up over this?
The feedback I've had is that they tend to feel like that's all that the relationship is.
So how many times a day were you looking to have sex with these partners you're talking about?
As often as I could. As often as time and stamina allowed, I think.
Like, give me a number.
5 times a day, up to, I think, 12 was the most I ever did.
So, given that you were keen to have sex, you know, at least a few times a day, how many knockbacks a day were you getting during your relationships?
Towards the end of the relationships, 3-4 times a day.
That's a lot of knockbacks for a young man to take.
It is. It's not something you feel particularly great about at the time either.
Yeah, did it batter your ego?
It did when I was younger. It really bothered me. I'd always kind of go into this cycle of questioning what I was doing and the relationship that I was in at the time. Was it right for me, or was it something I was doing? Was it something I wasn't doing? Am I not doing it well enough? Am I doing it too well?
Yeah, right.
I tend to overanalyze, and by the time you're overanalyzing, then you're then casting more problems into the relationship. Emotionally, you can feel like there's something horribly wrong, or that the other person doesn't care about you. I mean, I guess it's just been a case of stepping back from that and realizing what's actually going on rather than what you feel is happening.
Now, after you had three breakups over libido mismatch, did you think about bringing it up early with the fourth partner?
With the fourth, I actually went the complete opposite way. I controlled it so much and kept such an eye on what I was doing that it actually started causing tensions because she felt I wasn't attracted to her.
Right, so you overcompensated.
I overcompensated.
So weren't you guys able to sort of work that out? It sounds like a perfect mismatch that could be rebalanced quite easily.
Yeah, well, yeah, then it went back the other way.
Right.
Eventually, because you can understand what's going on, but you can't really change who you are. You can pretend for so long. But, you know, after a few weeks, I was kind of back to the way I normally behaved.
And then she realised you were quite attracted to her.
Yes, then she realised I was quite attracted to her, and she was very flattered for a brief period of time. So it kind of went from, oh, no, you're not attracted to me. Oh, yes, you are attracted to me. Oh, great, you're attracted to me. No, stop now. That's too much.
Have you met anyone else with the same problem?
I did actually once.
A guy or a girl?
It was a girl.
Why didn't you hook up? Seriously?
We did. That was the relationship that ended for other reasons.
Right, so you have met your perfect match.
In terms of libido, yes. There'll be someone else out there.
That's 11 out of 10, James, who's lost 7 relationships because his libido just rages day and night. He was speaking to Tom Tilley there. Now, it's clear from James's story that a mismatched libido can wreak havoc on a relationship or 7. How have you tried to deal with it when a partner wants sex a lot more or a lot less than you? Give us a call.
Hack 1300 0555 36. Text 1975 7555.
Sophie, your ultra-low libido is having a massive effect. How?
I just feel a bit odd. Like, I've been with my boyfriend for about 4 years now, and I'm only 22, 23, and I feel really guilty all the time. Like, I feel like it's expected that, yeah, like you said, this is the time of your life that you're supposed to be wanting it all the time, and I think he's pretty normal, and I just feel like I just can't be bothered a lot of the time.
So where do you reckon that feeling of guilt comes from? Is it from him or just from social expectation?
He's pretty understanding, but I think it makes him feel like he's not wanted or attractive, and that's just not the case. It's just, I don't know, I just don't seem to be able to get that interest. And I don't think it's not him. I just don't think generally I'm that I've got that higher libido. And among my friends, it's not really something that you talk about. I think there's just an assumption that everyone is just, you know, has pretty high sex drive, but I've got one friend who I've spoken to about it who has a similar issue, but we're the only two people we know of our age group that aren't kind of out there and just wanting it all the time. I probably would maybe once every, God, it's gotten so bad, it's like once every 2 months.
Do you think it's going to have an impact on your relationship, or have you been able to negotiate it?
We're trying to negotiate, but it's a pretty sensitive topic. It's kind of something that a lot of the time just goes unsaid. And yep. I think long term, I'm just like, oh, poor, I feel sorry for my boyfriend. He might think maybe there just comes a time and he's only in his 20s where it's just never, and we're pretty serious. So I don't know. I feel like I don't know whether I should talk to someone about it or what I'm supposed to do.
Well, stick around, stay listening, because we will have sex therapist Linda Carlisle in the studio in just a moment. Thanks very much for your call, Sophie. Sam, you're 19 and you've got a pretty low libido too. How would you rate it?
Like pretty much in the minus right now.
Right.
Well, I haven't even kissed a girl in about a year. It's very low, let alone that my self-esteem and confidence is low. I used to go out on the prowl a bit sometimes, out of the clubs and stuff, but now I tend to question my own sexuality, like, should I go over to the boys or, you know, it's fairly intense, mate.
Yeah, sounds like a hell of a time. So do you think it's about libido, or do you think it's about, you know, kind of finding yourself stuff, or, you know, a bit of self-reflection?
Bit of self-reflection, if anything. Libido, I've had sex before, enjoyed it, but my libido was never high. It's just more so the fact that it's not as if I want to be liked or loved. I want someone to love. Yeah.
Thanks very much for giving us a call, Sam.
No, that's fine, mate. That's fine.
Thank you. I think it's time to hear from Hack's sex therapist for the day. A few different stories on the spectrum you've heard there. Having a high libido can wreak havoc on a relationship. Having a low one can as well. Firstly, though, Linda Carlisle, what is it that we're talking about? What causes this feeling of wanting to have sex?
I think it changes and it's different for everyone. So if you consider a normal curve where you're always going to have at opposite ends of the scale, the people with the really high libidos and the people with absolutely no libido, for most people they fall somewhere in the middle. So, and that also fluctuates given the day, the week, the month, you know, depending on what you have on your plate. So, I mean, there's lots of things that influence it. Obviously, how you're feeling physically. So if you're in good physical shape, your diet, whether you're having exercise, also psychological factors, self-esteem, body image, and, of course, relationship is a big factor as well.
And driven by hormones?
It is. Men tend to have the testosterone factor, which is why in 85% of relationships, man is the higher drive partner, and in 15% the woman. But in saying that, it really depends. It's also the value that you place on sex. I sometimes see people who feel that as soon as sex starts to drop off in the relationship, then they figure that the relationship is going to go downhill. So there's other motivations apart from just hormones. And I guess once you get over that phase that you were talking about, that can't get enough of each other phase, is that you have to look for other reasons to be sexual that aren't necessarily driven by a biological drive.
Elise, your libido drops off. When does that happen?
Yeah, well, it's been my experience and that of a bunch of female friends that I've spoken to, that like at the 18-month or two-year point, like, yeah, libido sort of drops right off. And some friends say, oh, you know, it's just because you're not with the right person or not in love or whatever. But I have this theory that maybe it's biological, and I don't know. I haven't shared it with many people, so could there be some truth to something like that? I don't know.
Linda?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually read an article recently where it says that women's desire is such a fickle thing, obviously, drug companies would love to know how they can manufacture a pill that's going to make women want to have sex, but it's just not that easy. It's really quite complicated. And one of the reasons that this article stated was that after a certain period of time, I guess there's an element of choice that goes out of sex. So your partner is with you. They're not really choosing to be with you. They're in the relationship with you. Women's desire is really fueled by that being desired by their partner, you know, that their partner really wants to be with them, you know, the sort of the throw you up against the wall sex that is really arousing. And you don't tend to have that a couple of years into a relationship. So that's one of the factors that they think is a big one.
A bunch of texts coming in on 1-9-7-5-7-5-5-5 rating their relationships. Laura's from Melbourne says, I'm about a 2 or a 3. I just couldn't care less if I don't get it. My partner is about an 8. But he respects my opinions. Our relationship is great. Another texter says, I used to rate myself at about an 8 and my partner was the same. Now I'm about a 5 and it causes quite a bit of tension from time to time. Another says, my ex and I were so attracted to each other, we couldn't even touch hands because we wanted each other so much. It was like our bodies were made for each other, but we couldn't make it work on a mental level. My libido was a 10 for him only though. Another person says, I'm 25 and newlywed. I masturbate at least once a day, sometimes while she's asleep, because I want it more than her. Yep, I feel rejected often. How would you rate your libido? 1-300-055-36 is the number to call. Or you can text in like those guys on 1-9-7-5-7-5-5. Give me your name so that I can have a chat to you as well, or at least know how to describe you. Now, Marie, your libido changed after you'd had an implanted contraceptive. What happened? How much did it change?
It basically dropped off pretty much completely. I went from being the instigator to being repulsed by the idea of it, almost.
Did you know that it was the contraceptive that was having that effect?
Not at first. Basically, it came to a point where I had to just figure out what was wrong. And I did a little bit of research on the internet and found that a lot of other people who had the same contraception as me had the same problem.
And it's not just one type of contraception. Thanks very much for speaking with us, Marie. It's not just one type of contraception. Because contraceptives are based on hormones, it can affect the libido of a lot of women. Here's endocrinologist Susan Davis speaking with Tom Tilley.
Every month when a woman ovulates naturally, she will produce an increased amount of testosterone, which will stimulate her libido, and that level of testosterone stays up for the rest of the cycle until she has her period.
So the link between the menstrual cycle and libido is quite important, which means that taking the pill can mess with your sex drive.
If you go on the oral contraceptive pill, that switches off that underlying cycle, and therefore testosterone levels are low.
Susan Davis is the Professor of Women's Health at Monash Uni.
So simply by being on any form of contraception that suppresses ovulation will switch off libido to some extent.
But that's nowhere near the end of the story. It's about weighing up the pros and cons of taking the pill.
That will vary between women, because obviously if a woman goes on to contraception because she's having a lot of pain or heavy periods, in fact she might feel that her libido improves because of the alleviation of all those other symptoms. But for many women, they go on the pill and they don't realise that the pills actually cause their loss of interest in sex and their loss of responsiveness, and they just try and work out what's actually going wrong, but they don't understand it's the pill.
So maybe the progesterone implants that you get put in your arm are the answer. Well, no, apparently not. They can also bring your libido down a notch or two.
Because of the pharmacology, the actual action of the hormone in the body, the effect may not be as dramatic.
Susan says that the only contraceptive available that doesn't affect libido is the intrauterine device.
Certainly in Scandinavia, it's one of the most common forms of contraception. So it's inserted into the uterus. It's a very small coil, if you would describe it as that, I guess it looks like a chubba chub, except the top part of it is just a very fine coil, not the big fat chubba chub. And it releases progesterone directly to the lining of the uterus. So it makes the uterus inhospitable for sperm to connect to an egg and an implantation.
But if the sound of a small lollipop-like object in your uterus is a bit scary, then don't give up hope. Professor Susan Davis and her team at Monash Uni are working on the magic pill, a pill that doesn't bring your libido rating down to 1 out of 10.
The difference with this pill is that the estrogen in it isn't a synthetic potent estrogen. It's more like the natural sort of estrogen we use in menopausal HRT. It has less effect on the transport of testosterone in the body and therefore probably has less effect on testosterone levels. I think this is probably going to be a dramatic improvement on what we've had previously.
Until that product hits your shelves, it's about getting the right pill for the right person.
So it's very important that when a woman is speaking to their doctor about what pill they would go on, is to ask the questions about the pill. How could this affect my libido? Is this one of the ones that blocks testosterone action that might have an adverse effect on my libido?
That's endocrinologist Susan Davis speaking there with Tom Tilley. You're listening to Hack. My name's Kate O'Toole. How would you rate your libido? Is your partner's about the same, or has it maybe caused a few problems in your relationship? Give us a call.
Hack 1-300-055-36. Text 1-9-7-5-7-5-5.
Can you rate your libido for me out of 10?
Probably 47,852.
How's that affecting your relationship?
Well, everything else is cool except that it's not all there. And I think that sex is a big part of any relationship, and it's not working out exactly the way that I planned.
Does it make you feel inadequate?
Yeah, it makes me feel like he's not that into me, but he insists that yes, he is, he starts getting upset about it's not my fault, and then I don't know what's wrong with me, and I'm like, there's nothing wrong with you, I don't know what to say, but it's all right, kind of thing. Even though secretly I'm really annoyed. In TV and, you know, American awful sitcoms, you're always led to believe that boys want to have sex all the time. And it's not always like that, because I thought it was going to be fantastic when I, you know, started having sex, that I'd get it whenever I wanted it from anyone. And the one that I want it from won't help me out because he's, I don't know. It's like the whole issue with masculinity comes back to that, because I guess he's feeling a bit shit about his self-esteem and he's not a real man or something like that. Some bullshit.
Has it changed how you look at his masculinity?
Not really. I mean, I still love him. I don't think any less of him as a man. So, you know, some guys are just different than what the media portrays, and that's okay.
It's okay, but it's impacting on the relationship.
Kind of, yeah.
You said it's a big part, sex is a big part of any relationship. If this is the benchmark, are you going to be able to handle that?
I don't know. I hope so. I hope we last. But he thinks because I want it a lot, that whenever he's not around, that I'm a massive skank and I go sleeping with other people. And that really annoys me. You know, he thinks because I'm always horny that I will go and get it from anyone, when I'm not going to go out and be bad. I'm not going to do that to him. But, you know, I want it from him.
So how do you cope when you're not getting what you want?
DIY.
Has it changed your perception of yourself? Did you ever think of yourself as being overtly sexual before you started dating someone who wasn't?
Not at all, no. Like, I didn't have sex till I was 19. No, I thought I was a freak for not having sex yet. Turns out I am a freak and I want it too often now.
Do you think it's possible to bridge the divide between mismatched libidos?
I don't really think so. I don't think that I can change. And unless he can change, then we're just on two different planets.
That's 20-year-old Natasha in Brisbane, speaking there with Caitlin Sorey. Linda Carlisle is Hack's sex therapist for today. Linda, we've heard a little bit about how having a high libido presents problems in relationships. Can you describe how this can be a bit of a, having a mismatched libido can be an escalating problem?
Well, unless you find ways to negotiate. I mean, she hit the nail on the head when she said that, you know, it's never going to work out exactly as planned. It's a rare relationship that both people want to have sex at exactly the same time. And I guess where the problems occur is when it's not negotiated in a way that's positive, and it can create what's called the pursuer distancer cycle. So the higher drive partner is chasing for sex, the lower drive partner is running away, the lower drive partner feels that every show of affection, everything's interpreted as being a come on, and it just creates really negative feelings between the people. The distancer feels under pressure all the time. They feel smothered, a lot of guilt because they feel like they should be looking after their partner, unappreciated and insecure. And for the person that's doing the pursuing, obviously rejection, frustration, feel resented, a bit ripped off, and it creates insecurity, as she mentioned.
Jess, is any of that sounding familiar to you?
Yeah. Like, I'm with a boyfriend at the moment, but I'd say I have a reasonably high sex drive. I'm 22 and started having sex when I was 15, and in that time I've had well over 60 different sexual partners. I'd say, like, being a young guy himself, my boyfriend does have a fairly high libido, but because mine's just a little bit higher than his, whenever I initiate it and he turns me down, I feel shit and unwanted, and as if he doesn't care about me and that our relationship's going to fall apart, and he just feels as if he can't perform and can't man up, and it causes a little bit of tension.
Have you been able to compromise in that?
Yeah, usually usually we just have a chat about it. It's usually not because he doesn't want to. He's well keen to. It's just because he's tired from work or he's distracted or something. He's got stress on his mind. So we talk about it, but then he'll then initiate, like another time, like if we wake up in the morning and he didn't do it last night or something, he'll then initiate it straight away and sort of make it up to me.
Thanks very much for giving us a call, Jess.
No worries.
Jess's story isn't, well, it's pretty common, but often it's the female who has the slightly lower sex drive. And in her book, The Sex Diaries, I'm interested to know what you think about this, Linda. In her book, The Sex Diaries, Bettina Arndt suggested that women who had a lower sex drive than their partner could just do it, that being in the mood from the get-go doesn't have to be a prerequisite for having a shag. What do you think of that?
I hear what Bettina says and I agree to a point. I think that by saying just do it, it's a little bit harsh on the women. I think what she means is that because we can kind of, as long as we have a willingness and a positive feeling for our partner, that even if we don't particularly desire sex, that we can still get aroused and still have a great time. And so that's what she means by just do it. But in saying that, it's really about finding reasons to be sexual other than just desire.
Is it bringing back the idea of the wifely duty, though? Is that a bit sort of...
Yeah, I agree. But I mean, in a relationship, I guess most people would agree that if you agree to go into a relationship, there's some sort of sexual component to it. So, again, it comes down to negotiation and how do you deal with the inevitable difference in desire that you're going to have.
A recent national survey of secondary school students found that about a third of Year 10 and Year 12 students reported having unwanted sex. Here's Anne Mitchell speaking about it.
We asked, have you ever had sex when you didn't want to? And we got, this time, 38% of young women and 19% of young men said that they had. Last time we asked the same question and we found lower levels than that, so the rates of unwanted sex are going up. The main reason that students listed for having unwanted sex was pressure from a partner. That was by far the biggest one, and that was experienced mostly by women. And then the one that was more equally experienced was being too drunk. We do believe that pressure from a partner and young men having unwanted sex is because of those things that go on in people's heads. It mightn't be about the peer group as such, but it might be, all right, I'm a man, I should want sex, I should go on with this. What's the matter with me? I think I should be doing that.
Were you surprised to see that those figures went up in this survey?
I don't know about surprised, really, but we were certainly disappointed.
That was Associate Professor Anne Mitchell from La Trobe University talking about unwanted sex amongst secondary school students. Sam, you still try to have sex even when you don't want to?
Yeah, that's right. I'm currently on medication, so when we first started going out, we had sex like 20 times on the weekend and stuff, and now it's down, I don't have the libido because I'm on medication.
So how do you get into that head frame, like that mindset? Is it a matter of, you know, just doing it?
It's not a matter of just doing it. It's because just the fact that I want to give him pleasure. And, I mean, I've never orgasmed ever in my life, so I guess I just don't miss it.
Thanks very much for speaking with us today, Sam.
Yeah, that's all right.
Our sex therapist today is Linda Carlisle. Linda, do you have any tips for this process of negotiation between people who have a mismatched libido?
I think you have to try and make it easier for the lower drive partner to say yes. And in saying that, you got to be honest with yourself. Often when you are just pleasing your partner, it just comes down to the activities that they want to do. And that may not necessarily be what you're up for or what you find interesting or might motivate you to get more involved in it next time. So actually think about what do I like, you know, if it doesn't have to be, you know, the whole caboodle and actually going through to intercourse. Look at maybe other activities that can achieve the same end that might make it more palatable and, you know, more desirable for you to do those activities.
So any suggestions? Can you be a little bit specific?
Of course. Well, just take intercourse off the table and let's think of all of the other things that you can do. I mean, it can be stuff in the shower. It can be obviously oral sex. It could be mutual masturbation. And, I mean, it comes down to that the partner can always take care of themselves. And that's a theme that I've heard with both a guy and a girl that said that they masturbate if their partner's not up for it. And that is a form of sex as well. So,
it's one solution.
That's it. One solution out of 20 or 30 rather than, you know, it just being an all or nothing thing.
Thanks very much for speaking with us today, sex therapist Linda Carlisle.
Thanks, Kate.
And thanks for all your calls. If you'd like to comment more, you can go to the Hack website at triplej.net.au/hack. Catch you tomorrow.